said.
Don't believe what I just saw.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta.
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral.
Okay.
17:38. I'm like, hey, what's up? Hello. Since you're pretty as soon as you came in the door. I just wanna chill, got a sack for us to roll. Married to the money, introduced her to my stove. Showed her how to whip it, now she remixing for low. She my track queen, let her hit the bando.
No train whistle this week. Eric is not with us, but this is Sportsaholics episode number 87. Just in honor of Eric not being here, the Rob Gronkowski—I can't even say his name right—Rob Gronkowski episode. Well, you know what's crazy about this guy? He's only 26. That's what blew my mind. I'm like, how is this guy so young still? I swear he's been in the NFL for 10 years. But if you're not familiar, comes with a football rich family, I guess you could say. His youngest brother actually is still at Kansas State. He's a fullback. I didn't even know that was still a position in football, but apparently fullback still is. And then I think two brothers, maybe even a third, played in the NFL. But the Rob Gronkowski. Try saying that name, Gronkowski. Gronk. No one. Okay, the Rob Gronk episode number 87. This is a great episode this week. We have on a good friend of mine. Great comedian and Texas native. You got to include that in the intro. Sean Halpin, comedian I've known for years, travels all over the world with the armed services. So he's been all over the Middle East and really everywhere and all over the country. But I had him come on just talking about being a Cowboys fan and growing up, you know, with the Oilers and just when they left Houston and just. You know, Texas sports. And, you know, what kind of got under his skin was the fact he's like, you know, at least put the stadium in, you know, Dallas. But anyway, that's further on, later on down in the in this episode. So I made it back last week. You know, I was on my way to the airport, made it back from the airport, spent a good deal of time in Gardner, Kansas, in Baldwin City, Kansas, working on a project with some very funny friends of mine, some good comedians, and had a great time. And just wanted a quick shout out to Moose's Barbecue in Baldwin City. If you're in and around, that's south of Lawrence, Kansas by about 15-20 minutes, southeast of Kansas City by about 45. It's worth it. Go out there, say hi to Moose. Great guy, big dude. I mean, I'm talking 6'5". I mean, the Chiefs might want to put a scout out in Baldwin City is all I'm saying. I know we're having problems on the offensive line. Go look at Moose's Barbecue because Moose could pass as an off. I'm assuming he probably did play offensive line, but incredible guy. Very funny, very hospitable. We were able to do a lot of great stuff there that involved his restaurant. The food, amazing. I took a shot of the Moose Drool, which is like some sort of habanero barbecue. It was hot. The thing is, I've lived in California now so long that I've just grown used to hotter foods. I know when I go back to the Midwest, people are like, "Ooh, this is spicy." I'm like, "Not. It's kind of spicy. It's Midwest spicy." So it's not that the Moose's Drool made you like hit the floor, you know, like, "Oh, give me something to drink." But it was good. It was a good. It had some flavor. Just go to Moose's, Baldwin City. Go check it out. It's great food. Moose, you're the man. Thank you. But it was cool, though. So aside from, you know, working with all that, I was able to go to the Royals game Friday. You know, that would have been, I don't know, 5 or 6 days before this has been posted. It was the game after they'd clinched. So what happened was they played all their minor league players. And so you have a combination of, it's Chesler Cuthbert, Cologne, you know, you've got Paulo Orlando in the outfield. It's just all the guys, the AAA. You got the third string catcher with the backup catcher playing first base is how deep into the roster they were getting here. And of course they got crushed. And my buddy said before, he's like, man, if I had any money, I would put it all on the Indians. And you know what? I don't know what the line was. It's probably 12 because it was a double AAA versus the Indians type of a game. But that didn't matter because they started the game off with one thing. They hoisted the American League Central Champions banner. The first time ever and the first time any division banner had been raised in Kauffman Stadium in over 30 years. So, you know what? I wasn't at the game, and I actually could have been there, but I opted to watch the game with some really good friends and family, which was great. And we had a great time doing it, celebrating. And then that was actually in Columbia, Missouri. So then after the game, I drove back to Kansas City, listening to the post-game show, 610 Sports. You guys do a great job. It's a great show. If you're in Kansas City, definitely check that out. Or actually listen on the app. The app's, you know, you can find it. So listen anywhere in the world. But they were selling shirts and stuff like that. And it was, at this point, probably 12:30. I'm like, you know, I'm just going to go down there and see. So went down to the stadium, drove around, didn't get a shirt, you know, but it was still, I was like, man, you know, there's a lot of you could just feel it. It was still there. The hot dog vendors were just leaving at this point. You know, it's like 12:30, 12:45. And, you know, you could just feel, you know, it's a lot of good energy. So went back the next day. Yeah, they didn't win, but got to see, you know, some of the stars of tomorrow, which is, I guess, kind of valuable. But that aside, it was cool because after the game, my buddy, we're throwing the ball around. He's like, got a couple mitts, got the ball out, tossing it around. And then he's like, hey, we end up over by like where all the players come out. And I'll tell you what, one of the weirder things in my life is asking someone that's the exact same age as you for their autograph. So sorry, Ben Zobrist, that was a little weird for me. But it, at the same time, now I got a nice little Ben Zobrist souvenir. Nice gentleman. Actually, one of the only guys I saw sign for, you know, anyone that really was there. At that point, it was a little bit later, so it was only 15, 20 people. But I did overhear. So one of the kids made, this is what's wrong with the kids right now. They're greedy because this guy had made a custom sign. This kid's probably 16, 17. And it was cool, and it just fit right into the my theory that the Kauffman Stadium has just turned into a WWF wrestling, you know, slash Halloween costume party. Whether you're wearing antlers or a kitty cat spandex, or you're bringing a bunch of canes, it's like, or you're dressed up like it's 1890. You know, and slavery's still cool. You know, whatever your costume is, you know, it's either that or everyone's got a sign. I mean, watch other Kansas City people, if you're listening, watch other teams when they play. It's not like that. It's not just a free for all with people just jumping and screaming like, just get me on TV. It is really turned into a wrestling type scenario. But not to get too off, so this guy had one of those signs, so he takes it up to Zobrist. He had it signed by a bunch of the players, and he goes, I actually already had you sign it before, would you mind signing it again? So Zobrist has actually signed this guy's stupid poster two times, and I'm just like, you're being a little greedy. At least give him a ball or something. My buddy went up and had him, you know, personalize a ball to his friend's daughter, which I was like, that's a great idea. You know, I was thinking about having him sign something like, hey, can you write, I'm gonna stay in Kansas City. Instead, I opted for, hey, you know, it'd be pretty sweet if you stuck around for a couple seasons. And he just kind of goes, yeah. I'm like, all right. So Zobrist is gone. But that aside, it was sweet because watching that banner go up, it was a, you know, something, you know, hadn't been done in 30 years. So it felt good to be there. Which brought me to 1738. You heard it when the show started. Popular song now, a quarter of a billion. If you've never heard that song, look, don't feel bad, but just know that song, as I'm looking at it on YouTube right now, has over 250 million views. So a quarter of a billion views. So this is, so just here's some information about this song that is the theme song for the Royals this year, 1738. The Remy Boys, it's named after cognac, but it's a popular song. And so it's funny because nobody knows what it means. And so I see this girl with like a 1738. I'm like, if you listen to the lyrics, it's just about smoking weed, getting drunk, probably going to strip clubs, things of that nature. Just good old fashioned, you know, free time stuff. And I see like these 6-year-old girls and 8-year-old kids like with these 1738 signs. I'm like, just parents, If your kids are 7, 8 years old, you know, you're in your 30s. It's like just the lyrics are right there on YouTube. I mean, just say, you know what, maybe not the 1738, maybe Lorenzo Cain Club or something like that. Anyway, I found this interview, kind of explains the whole thing, and it just totally makes fun of Joel and Montgomery at the Royals announcers, because they just have no idea. They're like, oh, it's some song by Fetty Wap, I think. But anyway, quarter of a billion views, people.
It's a song. The Royals are also some of the biggest Fetty Wap fans. During the recent post-game interviews, many of the players have been working the numbers 1738 into their answers, a reference to Fetty's infamous crew, Remy Boys 1738, named after Remy Martin Cognac.
I mean, you can name 17, the 38 plays we've made all year. I mean, it's kind of unbelievable the way this team plays.
On a scale of what?
Yes, scale of 17 to 38.
Best friend in the world.
38.
And seeing as how most of the reporters are dudes who are well into their 50s and have no idea who Fetty Wap is, the team's answers have been confusing the hell out of them, but thanks to the internet, they finally figured it out.
But I gotta say that we noticed yesterday that the players have been using the expression 1738 or the numbers in a lot of their answers, and so what's going on is apparently they like a song by a rapper named Fetty Wap, which is, I know, one of your favorites, right?
He's on my playlist.
You love Fetty Wap.
The Royals have taken their love of the New Jersey rapper so far that they've made it mandatory for everyone on the team to shout out Fetty's crew. Kansas City Star reporter Andy McCullough tweeted, KC players are finding each other if they don't use 1738 in post-game interviews. I have no idea what it means. Success has driven them mad. This has got to be one of the best sports trolls in recent years, and for some reason, saying the number 1738 can crack anyone up. That's all for now. For the rest of your sports stories, subscribe to Complex on YouTube today.
1738. So just know that's what it means. It's Lorenzo Cain's walk-up song. It's not a horrible song by any means. You know, there are way worse songs that I've heard for theme songs and things like that. But just no more 1738 posters with the little kids. I did see a guy, and I'm probably going to steal this idea. It was a custom jersey with the name 17, number 38. I thought that was pretty clever. But guys, I wanted to also, before we get into our interview with Sean Halpin, go to seanhalpin.com. That's seanhalpin.com. Again, very funny comedian. I wanted to talk about DraftKings because I've got a problem with baseball here, because it is just the Pete Rose issue. You got to let him in. At this point, every one of your games has a DraftKings ad in it. You're getting millions of dollars from this gambling site, and it is gambling. You're taking their money, yet I know he bet on baseball, but you can't say, hey, you bet on baseball and then take money from an online gaming site. It just contradicts itself. You can't do it. And then on top of that, it's bad enough that it's like, hey, here, spend your money here. Who's going to play? Everybody tells you, this is who I'm picking today. That's like a new segment on every baseball show. This is my DraftKings player. How much did DraftKings give you to have every single game that the announcer has to say, my DraftKings player, and watch? It's hilarious. You have no idea. These are professional people that watch every single baseball game. And they'll pick guys, oh, sorry, my guy went 0 for 3. Well, he goes 0 for 3 every night. You watch the games, you announce them, but you don't know shit about what's going to happen. It's like they just, you know, it's part of their gig now. All I'm saying, I'm never using DraftKings unless they're paying me money. I'll take it. So DraftKings, if you're listening, just know I'll take your money, just like baseball. But unlike baseball, I will put Pete Rose. That's right. You heard it right here. Into our Bo Jackson Hall of Fame. And with the fifth induction into the Bo Jackson Hall of Fame, that is Pete Rose. And know this, DraftKings is never getting into Bo Jackson's Hall of Fame. But guys, sit back. On the other side of this break, we're coming back with Sean Halpin, one of my good friends, very funny comedian. He tours all over the world, North America, Texas, all the time. So go see him when he comes to your city. But here he goes with a little Dallas Cowboys, a little Tejas information.
I remember down in Houston, we were putting on a show.
when a cowboy in the back stood up and yelled, "Cotton Eye Joe!" He said, "We love what you're doing. Boys, don't get us wrong. There's just something missing in your song. If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot, but not for Louisiana man. So rosin up that bow for faded love and let's all dance. If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band."
And we are back on Sportsaholics with one of my good friends, great comedian, Sean Halpin, Texas native. Sean, how are you doing, man? Good to have you on.
I'm good, buddy. Always good to talk to you.
And it's glad I'm glad to get you on the phone because you are a very busy man. You're traveling, well, at this day and age, all around the world doing comedy. Now, as a Texan, when you travel and you see and you meet someone from Texas in another country, which I'm sure is pretty easy to do because of, you know, you'll see a Texas flag for some reason. They'll just be carrying it. You're like, hey, we're in Lebanon, and this guy's just carrying around a Texas flag.
What do you mean for some reason?
But is, yeah, it?
You might see a cowboy hat or a Texas hat or maybe a Dallas Cowboys sweatshirt on somebody in Iraq. You know, it's just sometimes, I mean, it's random, you know.
Yeah, it's almost. Have you seen that? Have you seen the Texas flag in Iraq?
I think I had. Well, because some units are from military units are from Texas. You know, they fly it proudly above their little posts, or even on their Humvees, or you know, MRAPs, or any other vehicle. You know, you'll see a Texas flag in the weirdest places. You know.
Yeah, well, it's good. You know, they want to scare ISIS and then be like, well, not only is America coming, but specifically Texas. So we are really screwed now.
Right, because ISIS knows that we use chicken wings for grenades. And we know how to shoot, so we're ready.
Well, and they've learned to listen to that fiddle. And then they know that it's really you guys. You know, that's like your battle cry.
Yeah, when it's dawn and you hear that fiddle, you better hunker down, because we're coming.
Yeah, if you want to fight for Texas, you got to have a fiddle in the group. Well, okay, so you're a Texas guy. Help the listener find the divide, because you got the Longhorns, you got A&M, you've got, you know, the Texans, the Houston Texans now, you know, you got the Cowboys. Let's start with the Texans and the Cowboys. Is that a rivalry?
Yeah, I mean, Houston and Texas are pretty much different cities, but they have a lot of pride in both of them, you know, so the divide is, you know, Cowboys and Texans. I'm from the Dallas area, so I kind of, you know, obviously root for the Cowboys, but I find it weird how people from, you know, other cities can find a team and be so passionate about them, and then you find out kind of the backstory, like their father was, or, you know, something like that. But in Texas, I think if you live in the Dallas area, you're usually a Dallas fan. Obviously, if you live in the Houston area, you're a Texans fan, you know?
Well, but let's go back to, let's say, 20 years ago, 1995. If you lived in Houston, were you a Dallas Cowboys fan?
No, I didn't live in Houston. I was always in the Dallas area.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, was that a common thing to, like, be in Houston and see people rooting for the Cowboys? Because at the time, you know, they didn't have an NFL team. I mean, they had Texas A&M, really, and that's about it. So was that okay?
Yeah.
Was that okay? Like, you weren't, like, shunned by Houston people if you were a Cowboys fan back then?
No, it's kind of like, you know, L.A. Raiders fans, you know, holding on to L.A., you know, in that sense, to where even the Oilers were gone, but there's still Oilers fans. And they, you know, had a lot of great teams. You know, and Earl Campbell, you know, Houston is just a prideful city, and you know, they just, you just kind of cling on to what you had until something else comes along.
What,
you know?
What, help me remember this. Was, what year did they move? Was it around 95 so, or 93, something like that?
I don't even know. I think it was it earlier than that.
I'm going to look.
Let's Google that.
I'm looking it up. I'm looking it up right now. Oh, we were way off. 96 is when they moved. That is correct.
From
that late. That's crazy. So they only did not have an NFL team in Houston for 6 years. Didn't that seem like 10 when it was happening? It seemed like two decades or something like that.
Yeah, it seemed like forever, especially living in a town probably where you had such a, you know, I thought it was a good team or good teams, and then they just take away from you. I can't imagine, living in Dallas and they take the Cowboys away. Or what is it about living in Green Bay and they take the Packers away? It's like, you know, even with Cleveland, you know, it's like,
yeah,
it's gotta be, you know, it's gotta be truly devastating as a sports fan, you know, to not have a team, especially, but then not have a team taken away is crazy.
No, it's weird, too, because, I mean, this wasn't like they'd been around. I mean, they were founded in 1959, so it wasn't just a new infant. You know, it had been in Houston, you know, at that close to 35 years when they eventually moved to Tennessee. But kudos to them for calling them the Texans, because you can't get a more Texas name, bigger, better than Oilers, than actually just Texans.
Yeah, you know, because it was kind of like a theme with you know, Dallas, the TV show, and oil, and then Houston, the Oilers, and then all the oil industry down there. And, you know, that's how a lot of families made their money. And, you know, it was just really oil, and the Oilers in Houston really identified with the people, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and that's still how a lot of people down there make their money. I mean, hell, they got that Blood and Gold show coming out about all the fracking and everything. That's, it's empire, but for white people. Same logo and everything, gold. It's the same. Right. It's the same show, but they put it into oil industry instead of music. So, if you're white and you didn't like Empire, try Blood and Gold or Oil and Gold or whatever it's called.
Well, first of all, if you're white and you don't enjoy Empire, you're probably a horrible person.
Yep.
And you're, I don't know about the gold. I don't know. I think they're trying to recreate probably the Dallas thing, you know, but we'll have to see. It'll be interesting to watch.
Now, take us back as a longtime Cowboys fan. Take us to Irving, Texas, the stadium that God built, I believe, correct? So we could watch the Cowboys play. Is that the old saying?
Yeah, that's why there's a hole in the top of it so God could watch it on Sundays.
That's now. Now walk us through a game back there at that old stadium compared to the new stadium, which it's its own little city for the most part. Do you miss the old Cowboys, or do you like where they've gone now? You know, in setting the bar at where stadiums have to be from here on out.
Well, I mean, I like the smaller stadiums just because you're so close to the field, you know, and the players. And as the stadiums get bigger, you're so far away. Like, if you take even a baseball stadium now, there's just so many people there, and, you know, it's a moneymaker. But then if you go to, like, Wrigley Field, that's the way baseball should be watched, you know, live. And the old stadium, I was a kid, and I took a tour on it, probably maybe fourth or fifth grade. We went on a tour of the old stadium, and you know, it just kind of symbolized a lot of it. Because when there's a movie, like, you know, about the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders, and then there was a film, North Dallas 40.
Yep.
And, you know, football was just so big, and it still is in Texas. And then when you go to this kind of mecca, and that's when the Cowboys were kind of more America's team, and I felt not really hated by fans as much.
Yeah, well, it's because social media and ESPN wasn't in its boom, where they just were constantly just talking about the Cowboys for 20 years.
Right, right. Yeah. And, you know, it's a great stadium. And then what was weird is they moved out of there and went to build another stadium. And it seems like they just blew it up within maybe 2 weeks and, like, didn't really tell anybody. And so people were finding out about it from YouTube videos and stuff like that. Or, yeah, because it just blew up, and I saw footage of it, and I was like, oh, man, they blew it up. But then what's weird about the whole surroundings of the old Texas stadium is that there have been numerous earthquakes around the area.
Really?
Yeah, and I didn't know. I've never heard of earthquakes. I just figured they were always in California, and that, you know, we had to worry about it. But if you go online, there's a map around the stadium where there's been, you know, probably 10 kind of small earthquakes happening.
So God is a little upset that that Jerry Jones did not allow the fans some closure before he tore the whole thing down. Or the city, no. Or whoever was God, responsible.
God is not happy.
No. No.
That's another problem when you say Dallas Cowboys. It keeps moving further and further out of Dallas, you know? And it's almost like when you come to L.A. and you think, oh, Santa Monica Boulevard's right there next to, you know, the Santa Monica Pier is right next to Hollywood Boulevard because that's the way it shows on TV. And you're like, no, I have to take a 3-hour bus ride and get to the Petway.
Yeah, it's like you pull up. Yeah, you're like in Ontario driving back from Vegas and you're like, oh, I'm finally in LA. Or at least I will see downtown in about 2 hours.
Right. You know, and that's another thing. It felt like the Cowboys was, some of the old teams felt more, like a family, because you know when you have a team and like the general manager will have a show either before or after, you know, kind of like a local show before and after the game.
Oh yeah,
and,
definitely. Or he'll be broadcasting live at the local barbecue place, something like that.
Right. So I think it was Tex Stram. I think that's. May have been the owner, and he'd have a show, and then like Tom Landry was on the show, and they would have players, and it just felt like kind of college programming, but it was for an NFL team, you know? And then when Jerry Jones came in, he kind of just gave Tom Landry the walking papers and didn't really show like any respect to him or what the Cowboys achieved up to that point. And, you know, why not name the stadium Tom Landry Stadium? Or, you know, there's like a freeway next to it named Tom Landry Freeway or something. But, you know, to not really pay him respect as an old Cowboys fan, you know, kind of probably still ticks a lot of us off.
Well, I know it definitely pisses off Hank Hill, that's for sure.
Of course,
Tom Landry's number one fan. All right, I'm gonna list a couple Cowboys here. Tell me and give me your first thoughts when you hear the name Troy Aikman.
My first thought was weird lips.
Weird lips. All right, nice, nice.
Troy's like a. You know, when a quarterback is a leader and they're not really, because I never saw Troy really get excited, but I never really saw him put his head down and walk off the field, you know?
Yeah, he's just a good, calm, composed leader. Well, that's because he had concussions. He didn't know where he was. You know that. All right, Emmitt Smith.
Looks like he's running really slow. But really fast.
Dude, that guy was the best. He's one of my favorites.
Every time you kind of see him, it's weird. It looks like he's running slow, but just, you know, it was almost like he was somewhat of a fullback, but not, you know, and he wasn't afraid to put a shoulder in somebody, you know, and get an extra two to 3 yards. You know?
Oh, hell no. Yeah, it's like he came around the corner and he saw, what was it, Brian Jordan, like that guy that played two ways, like played baseball and football for the Falcons. Yeah, he'd just be like, he'd be like, oh, you're going to try to stop me? This is going to be hilarious. Just, all right, what about taking it back a little bit on the other side of the ball, Ken Norton Jr.?
Amazing. Just, again, just an all-around football player, you know? Just
kind of fits that older Cowboys kind of mold that you talked about a few minutes ago. Kind of just a hard-nosed, well-respected by the fans kind of a guy, right?
Yeah, it's kind of the smash mouth, you know, kind of blue collar vibe, you know, of the older teams, you know.
Yeah, a guy that might cut his pinky off like Ronnie Lott if he needed to stay into a game. kind of a guy. All right, one more before we go to break here, Quincy Carter.
You mean Quincy Carter?
Yes.
You know, it's sad. Quincy Carter was good, and then I think it was, wasn't that the year that the Cowboys traded him, and so he was, he playing for the Cowboys, and then it was like on Madden, he was on the wrong team or something.
It was like, was Drew Henson his backup that year, or was Bledsoe?
I think it might have been Henson, because he would, I just remember he switched teams. I think he went to the, did he go to the Redskins or something? And I don't know. I felt Quincy was a great quarterback. I felt like the organization kind of did him wrong in a way. But, you know, the Cowboys have always just kind of made really, like, weird choices. And, you know, like now we're going with, I like Whedon as a quarterback. But now he's already moved to second string when he was there to become first string, and then they want to get a veteran in there to be first string now. It's just all like, I don't know. I mean, if you have a quarterback that's not doing well, just put the second string quarterback in. He can't do any worse, usually, you know.
Well, and that's the problem. I mean, as we're listing, and I looked up, it wasn't Drew Henson. I think it was the other guy that played baseball, Chad Hutchinson.
Oh, yeah.
But you were right about the New York. He went on to play for the Jets. But I think he had, I don't want to quote, I mean, I can't, let's see. He had some marijuana charges. I think that's, I wanted to say there was something else that was the reason.
Yeah, but come on. What Dallas Cowboy hasn't
had? I know. All right, well, yeah. So he went Cowboys, Jets, then he played in the AFL, most recently in the Arena Football League. He actually apparently played for the Kansas City Brigade in 2008, so good for you, Quincy. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I want to talk to you about your recent rebuttal to the, I don't even want to say her name, but this YouTube person and her fat shaming video, because your rebuttal is absolutely hilarious. Guys, we're going to actually play like 3 or 4 minutes of the clip right here. But when we come back, we'll be back with Sean Halpin. And check him out at seanhalpin.com. That's SHAWNHALPIN. That's HALPIN. That's the key. Halpin, not Haplin. It's Hal, HALPIN.com. All right, guys, we'll be right back.
You don't know if this is hairspray or semen.
No, pretty sure that's semen.
Dear fat people.
Yes? What do you have to tell us?
Ah, some people are already really mad at this video.
Yeah, because I'm mad about your shitty act outs. Ah!
What are you going to do, fat people?
I'm going to sit here and wait for you to tell me a hacky fat joke.
What are you going to do? What are you going to chase me? Really? You going to chase me?
No, I only chase after taco trucks and people that are relevant.
It's gonna be like fucking Frankenstein.
Frankenstein wasn't fat, he was slow. Oh, I see what you're doing. You're comparing. Someone took a comedy class.
Yeah, can you act out being a zombie so we can get the whole sci-fi crowd and nerds behind you?
I can get away from you by walking at a reasonable pace.
Is that a snake? Oh no, it's just your lisp.
Frankenstein, not so fast. Zombies have apparently gotten faster.
Oh, we're talking about zombies now? You're way off from your original message.
I watched like 3 episodes of The Walking Dead, and not being slow myself in the brain, realize that every single episode is exactly the same.
What, you mean killing zombies? That's what the show's about, dummy.
Oh no, they need something, but it's all the way over there.
Where the zombies are?
Yes, because that's what the show's about. And why is this being shot like an American Apparel ad?
Fat shaming is not a thing.
Fat shaming? It's not a thing? Why don't you tell that to the teenagers that killed themselves because people are fat shaming them? Oh, you can't, because they're dead.
Fat people made that up.
Yeah, it's probably made up. Probably made up by the same person that told you you have talent.
That's the race card, with no race.
Oh, now you're bringing race into it. Oh, and can I get a shitty act out?
Yeah, but I couldn't fit into a store. That's discrimination.
Nailed it.
No, that means you're too fat. You should stop eating.
Hey, can someone shut this bitch up? Drop that shitty act out!
Everybody just needs to make more sense. There's a race card, there's a disability card, there's even a gay card.
A race card, a disability card, a gay card. This bitch better not have a SAG card.
Because gay people are discriminated against. Wrongfully so.
No way.
The gay card's covered in glitter. It's fucking magical.
Oh, hope you choke on a glow stick. Hope somebody beats you with a unicorn. Hope somebody takes those 3 cards you're talking about and shoves them up your...
Are you gonna tell the doctor that they're being mean and fat shaming you when they say you have fucking heart disease?
No, because he's a professional. And he's saying it to my face. He's not on social media making dumb blanket statements.
So sad. I'm not talking about people who have a little bit of cushion for the pushing. And if there's people watching this with a specific health condition, this is not aimed at you.
You just talked about someone who might have heart disease.
I'm talking about the 35% of North Americans who are obese.
Spell obese. I dare you. I dare you. You got one letter right.
That means you are so fat. You are affecting your own health.
She's not a doctor, but I bet she played one in a porno.
Big boned isn't a thing.
Never said it was. It's 2 words. Doesn't mean it's a medical condition.
How stupid do I look?
I think you probably banged a teacher at a junior college to get a D.
Don't answer that.
Already answered it.
There are no fucking skeletons that look like the Michelin Man.
Yeah, because he's a fictional character. And he's made out of tires. I'm becoming
all
dumber.
Right, and we are back. And that again is that's shawnhalpin.com. Seanhalpin.com. Sean, that's hilarious. And good for you for putting that video up. Again, not going to mention the lady's name. You can go to seanhalpin.com to watch the video in its entirety. That was only the first 5 minutes.
Go to my YouTube page and subscribe to youtube.com/SeanHalpin.
There you go. Also on Twitter at Sean Halpin. You actually have the best hashtag, I think, in the business. Make it Halpin.
You got to make it Halpin, dude.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, what were your thoughts when you first watched her video? Were you just like puking in your mouth or what? Like, what? Were just like, were you about to explode with rage? I mean, what was your first thought? Like,
well, you know how videos go around and stuff. And then I saw it and I'm like, oh, what does this chick, you know, have to say or whatever? So I watched it like, probably a minute or two of it, and I'm just like, ugh. So then it just started, you know, people started commenting on it, and then I watched the whole thing, and I was just like, you know, this is what people are putting out there and supporting, and I felt like in Hollywood, you know, like a kind of negative hate message, and it wasn't funny. And then she said she was a comic, and I'm like, oh, you know, screw this lady. And it was one of those things where I just, you know, when something goes viral kind of like that, people ask me, did you expect it to go viral? I don't think you do at all, you know. I just thought I would put it up and maybe make a couple of my comic friends laugh and, you know, kind of get out my frustration with this person's hate speech in a way. And, you know, so I just took the video and... the thing about response videos that I noticed that people give their response and then they go, well, if you want to know what she really said, go to her video. So you give her another view. So I was thinking, well, how do I eliminate that? And so I just took her video, and then whenever she had a jump cut or a change in the camera, I would just put in my rebuttal there. It's where you have the facts. You have her saying that and me saying whatever the rebuttal is to it. So,
and it's just, I guess, a comic, it's just disgusting because it's so hacky. Like, when you're like, oh, here come, you're like, zombie. Because you're like, she's trying to squeeze her material into this rebuttal video, and it's not even good material, like the zombie joke and stuff, and you just totally call her out on it. You're like, what are you talking about? Remember? You're talking about fat people, not zombies, you know, and you're just like, it's just bad.
Well, she has a message, and it's one of those kind of bait posts where, you know, you put something offensive or something where people will click on, and then they're already in. You know, so it's, you know, dear fat people, what, you know, what I want to say about fat people, or now it's like, and then it's about abortion, and then, you know, and it's like, and like I said, it's like if you're a comic and you're doing a 3-minute set or whatever, you, and you talk about abortion and Hitler and what, like, rape in 3 minutes, you need to quit doing stand-up, you know, and
it's not 2009 anymore. People don't die laughing at that stuff as much as they used to. But no, you're right. That's just hacky, like shock stuff.
Well, it just seemed to me like it was, you know, just kind of like hate speech in a way, or just like a really poor point of view, and, you know, telling her a story about this fat family interrupting her at the airport, and then. Then she talked about the job of the kid sat next to her, and that was the part that really annoyed me, because I'm watching this video, and it was a long video. It was like 10 minutes long or 8 minutes long or whatever. So I'm thinking, if there's a kid sitting in a room and is a fan of hers, which, you know, young girls and young boys would probably be a fan of hers because, you know, she's a good-looking chick on YouTube, you know, and they want to be in that YouTube world, and he's listening to, you need to quit eating, you suck, as you know, because you're overweight, fat people suck. He may not get to the end of the video where she kind of tries to go, you know what, I just want you guys to get healthy. And she doesn't get to deliver her message, then this kid might hurt himself, or, you know, just be, you know, it's kind of like a bullying in a way, you know. And that's just, again, my point of view. People can say whatever they want, but...
Well, it just, you know, there was no facts. It was all, like, opinionated, and like you said, if she would have said, I just want you guys to be healthy, if she would have said that 10 times throughout the course of that video, you know what? Maybe it's more of a helpful video than a hurtful video. Not a well-done helpful video.
Right.
But the key here is she, and again, we're not mentioning her name, and if you want to watch Sean's rebuttal, go to Sean Halpin, HALPIN.com. She did it specifically because she wanted the 35 million hits or the 18 million hits, and that's why she made it shocking. And unfortunately, like you just said, it's like there might be a couple teenagers that do something that hurt themselves because of this. You know, like you said, they don't get to the end message, which is, get healthier, you know, maybe eat better, exercise more, or whatever.
Yeah, and, you know, and people are like, well, she has good points in there, you know, it's like, you know, what does she talk about, like, fat people being overweight, and they need to stop eating, and they need to exercise more, and it's like, yeah, everybody knows that, but then there's other factors when people just, the video was kind of, her message was that, you know, fat people just don't care about themselves, and they just eat because they love to eat. And, you know, a lot of people don't like carrying 300 pounds around, but then if their will and their motivation and is beaten down, and maybe it be by depression, or they just lost a dad, or they, you know, God forbid, just came back from combat and they've lost a leg and they put on weight after that. You know, there's a lot of factors than just saying all fat people suck and they need to get in charge of their life, you know?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, her, like, as far as soul, as a person goes, I mean, that is, I don't know, it was just disgusting to watch, and kudos for you for putting that out there, and it's been good for you, because, I mean, you've been one of my favorite comics to watch for years now. Since, I mean, we go, Sean and I used to work together at the Comedy Store back in the aughts and had a great time doing it. It's been a lot.
Did we?
Yeah. I mean, we were there, I think, in spirit. I think there's probably a picture there somewhere that proves it. But no, so it's been great too, because I mean, you know, when you watch your video and you click on, you're like, you know, that many more million people got to be entertained by you. So that for me as a friend, yeah, that was exciting.
Yeah, totally. And it's like, you know, dealing with my own like depressions and stuff like that, you know, it's hard for me to, you know, and I'm trying to, like, even with my podcast, trying to figure out how to look at the positive stuff, you know, because I tend to, whenever I read the comments, I'll focus on the haters and then not praise the supporters as much as I.
Hey, but
know,
the haters are listening. The haters are listening, right?
Oh, they love to hate. It's so funny. But the overwhelming, I mean, you know, the video, like on Facebook, has what, almost 4 million views. And then even on YouTube, the likes are at 30,000.
Yeah.
And the dislikes are like 1,000. So the positives and the emails and the letters from kids and, you know, are just so overwhelming that, you know, it's a shame that her, you know, media will push a hate message further than they will a positive message.
Yeah, it's all about the, yeah, because it's going to gain traction and gain shares, and, you know, it's unfortunate. But if more people do what you did, you know, then the world might be a better place because of it. But somebody needed to.
And just kind of like, you know, when you see something wrong or you see something that you don't kind of believe in, and you can take a, you know, either take a stand or at least just have an opinion about it, you know? And that's basically all I did, you know, and people gravitated to it and it went crazy.
And that's why you, the listener, gravitate to Sean Halpin's comedy. Find him on Twitter at Sean Halpin, SeanHalpin.com. Hashtag make it Halpin. But go watch the entire video. We gave you a sampling here. The whole thing is hilarious. And share it. You know, get, and when Sean comes to your town, Sean, if you don't mind me saying, is one of the hardest working guys I know, and he's always traveling all around the country, like I mentioned earlier, all around the world as well. So jump on his website. And if you're in LA, Sean, I consider that your home city. If you're not in Texas, you're in LA. You know,
yeah.
So definitely can find him around LA. Anything you want to mention before we get out of here?
No, just, you know, Sean Halpin on all social media. My podcast, Make It Halpin, is available on iTunes. And then that's about it, buddy.
Hell yeah!
Good to talk to you.
Absolutely, and hopefully we'll catch up in person soon. How about that?
Very soon.
Absolutely. Well, hey, man, it's great talking to you, and we'll talk soon, all right?
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Peace. I got 3 on the ground.
God damn, enough with the shitty act outs.
That's okay, because you got a bunch of other smarties. You got one body. One.
This one's a bright one.
It has to take you all the way to the end. You get that? Good.
Why is she talking like she's almost out of breath?
Fuck you, smarty.
Fuck you, dummy.
Oh my god, the hashtags.
Fuck, man. How long did your manager tell you this video had to be?
Body positive. If you want to be positive to your body, work out and eat well.
I wish you'd positively shut the fuck up. I wish you would eat my dick and fall down a well.
That's being positive to your body.
Ooh, I hope the IRS audits you.
You really think if enough of you hashtag something bad for you, it makes it okay?
No, again, never said that.
Hashtag meth love.
People who love meth, use that hashtag.
Hashtag team smokers.
Ah, she threw an impression in there.
Everybody use the hashtag. It'll unplug our arteries.
Yes, using hashtags can bring awareness to social issues.
They forgot to tell you that plus size stands for plus heart disease, plus knee problems, plus diabetes.
You're gonna die alone, and your cats are gonna eat your face off.
Plus your family and friends crying that they lost you too soon because you needed to have a Coke plus fries.
Have you ever stopped to think that there could be other problems that could be the root cause of obesity?
Yeah, plus size, plus size.
Is that pink in your hair supposed to make you look like you're in your 30s again?
I was at the airport not too long ago.
As an Uber driver dropping someone off?
And I had to wait in one of those lines that's like...
You mean a line anywhere?
As I get to the front of the line.
Who made you wait in line? Probably someone who didn't give a shit about your looks or status. We get it. It's a fucking line. We've all been in lines. Except you. You're probably one of those girls that goes,
I never pay to get into a club.
A family comes to the front and gets to bug me.
Gets to bug you? Who the fuck are you? Again, it's a line.
Baddest, most obese. I'm talking TLC special fan.
Who's watching TLC?
You're a meth shamer.
If you're a comic and use meth as a punchline more than once in your set, I hope you get hit by a bus.
They got to go to the front of the line because they were complaining that their knees hurt too much to stand in it.
Yes, because they have a disability. Do you not have 1 ounce of compassion in your body? Don't worry, you're gonna get on the plane. You won't miss Comic-Con.
Oh, I just came an hour early like I was supposed to.
God, I hope they lose this bitch's luggage.
But you overeat. Let me help you.
Now, boarding all bitches, gate 12. Boarding all bitches, gate 12.
And they complain, and they smell like sausages.
Sausages smell good.
And I don't even think they ate sausages. That's just their aroma. They were so fat.
How fat were they?
But they're that standing sweat fat.
Is that supposed to be your punchline?
Crisco was coming out of their pores like a fucking Play-Doh fun factory.
Jesus, you gotta get in a writing group or something. Hey guys, come here. You wanna see a really shitty act out?
So I wait an extra 10, 15, 20 minutes.
An extra 20 minutes at an airport? Shut the fuck up.
Now I'm not gonna have time to get Starbucks.
Oh God, why? Why?
I'm a white girl.
Shut up.
This is an issue.
Hey, make that face you made when you were 4 when your daddy told you you weren't pretty. Nailed it.
And I totally got felt up by security because I'm always selected.
Yeah, because they're on the lookout for terrorists and cunts.
Brown people, it's me and you on that.
You just racially profiled all brown people.
I'm a blonde who can speak in full sentences.
Yes, but nobody wants you to.
And has no interest in a sugar daddy.
Shut up.
I am a minority.
You already again, that's Sean Halpin, HALPIN.com, SeanHalpin.com. Sean, thanks for coming on. We didn't even get into Texas football and all that stuff. I forgot to ask him about, like, where's the – I want to know where the boundary lines are for Texas Tech, for Baylor fans, for A&M, for UT. Like, could you draw them on a map, or is it all just kind of spread everywhere, that sort of thing? But anyway, we'll save that for next time. Sean, again, thanks for coming on, man. That was awesome. And go to his website and go see his show. Like I said, like we mentioned, he actually is in Texas several times a year. It's a huge state, so he'll be probably coming – more than likely to your area. But guys, it's been a great episode. Eric will be back soon, I promise. Go to @sportsaholics on Twitter, look us up, tweet at us, guys. Thanks for the listens all over the world. Again, thanks for spreading the word. Go to onelovely.com, our sponsor. Go get, they have a bunch of great one-off shirts, sports related. Actually, they got some great skateboard decks. They got a little bit of everything. So go to onelovely.com, and guys, stay obsessed.